This is the First String Podcast with your hosts, Brandon and Sean Eaton. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the First String. This is Brandon Eaton here, and I got my brother Sean on the line.
How's it going, guys?
We are, we got a cool episode here because we just got done with our fantasy football draft. We talked a little bit about it in the last episode, and you know, we got some results here for you. We're going to talk a little bit about our teams and what we think about them. It's a big day for Sean here. I'm sure he's pretty happy. What do you think, Sean? Yeah. Today's the Zeke day. Zeke signing day. So what do you think about that, Sean?
I mean, I think it's good to get him in-house, obviously. When you look at 6 years, $90 million, that seems a little crazy. But then when you add the additional 2 years and look at it as a 8 years, $103 million, that makes it, what, $12.9 million per year. That's a lot easier to swallow than that $15 million that was announced. So
yeah,
I'm happy that he's here. I'm happy he's happy, and hopefully he doesn't get fat and lazy now that he's paid. So I hope he's as good as the money they're paying him.
You mean hopefully he's not a Haynesworth at running back?
Yeah, more or less.
I don't see that happening, but
I don't either.
8 years, that's a long time for a running back.
I mean, they guaranteed him 50, and they'll pay him the 50 in the first 3 years from what I saw. So I think that really after that, it just becomes about how much dead money they'll have if he's not performing. And from the looks of it, his signing bonus wasn't really that big. It was like maybe $8 million. So carry that through the 6 years. That's nothing in the prorated. So I think they'd be in good shape if he starts not performing. They can just let him go.
Well, and you love the dude they drafted to back him up.
I do. From what I saw of Tony Pollard, he looks like the real deal. And you know what? I hope they don't use Zeke like they have the last few years. 400-plus touches a year, that's going to take a lot of years off your career real quick. So hopefully Pollard can at least take, you know, 8 to 10 touches a game and lighten the load on Zeke so he can have a long run into the playoffs.
Yeah, I see that you like Pollard so much that you you dropped him already in our fantasy league.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was supposed to be the starter this week, so I took him.
There's one move that's made.
Gonna happen.
One move so far, guys, and it's Sean dropping Pollard, who he's in love with.
Well, I like him as a player. That doesn't mean I have to like him on my fancy football team.
All right, so let's look at our teams a little bit here, and you know, we'll talk about that. See, are you happy with your team? You wish you would have got a guy? Is there a guy that got stolen from you? I mean, I'm okay with my team. You know, what's funny about this is I've had some times where I drafted and I'm like, man, I absolutely killed it. I killed it. I got this in the bag. And then those are my worst years.
Yeah.
And then the times where I draft and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it, you know. That's like this year. Those are usually the years I do best. So that's how I am right now. And, you know, I'm hoping that works out for me. But
yeah, a lot of times when you are like, damn it, the guy that you wanted goes right before you, it ends up kind of being a blessing. So
right.
That definitely happened to me a few times with our good friend Tony picking right in front of me.
Yeah.
So I definitely cursed him out a couple of times on our chat during the draft, but I think it ended up okay. I was a little upset that Zeke didn't sign on Monday before our draft.
Yeah, now you got it.
Definitely would have taken him first overall.
Now you got a room for Saquon Barkley all year.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. But at least he's not an Eagle, so.
That's true. Including week one, you have to root for Saquon Barkley when he's playing against your
That's not going to happen. I'm
Cowboys.
Week one if I have to.
All right, you're gonna take. All right, you'll take a loss week one. You want to just trade him to me for the first week then? I mean, I'll take him. I'll trade him back to you. I'll trade him right back.
Yeah, I don't believe that's true, guys.
All right, so you know, I'll kind of run through my team, and then you can run through your team, and we'll talk a little bit about it, and then later on after that, we're gonna go through. We're doing a pick 'em, guys. So we're picking every one of us, both of us are picking every single game every week. And we're gonna keep score, and at the end of the year, we can see who's the better football Nostradamus.
Yeah, so. One thing that I noticed, Brandon, during our draft, like the guys that we said, oh man, I think this guy's gonna have a monster year. I'm really excited about him. I hope I get him. It was very funny because as I was watching the draft unfold, I was like, oh, I know who Brandon's gonna take here, and sure enough, there you go.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, here's the guy that I wanted, and he fell right to my lap. I'm definitely taking him. It was really funny.
Yeah, it was funny, and it's funny because that the round that you took, Mike Williams, I was going to take him.
Yeah, and I wanted Delvin Cook to slip, and then I was like, oh, wait, Brandon's going to pick him. I absolutely know that he's going to.
Yeah, I mean, I could – in the second round, I couldn't let him go, especially – so, you know, I'll talk about what I did. In the first round, I had the 9th pick, so – anytime I'm going into the draft, unless I have one of the first three picks, I really don't have like a, all right, I'm going with this guy. Because you never know what's happening in front of you. And, you know, if you have one of the top three picks, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to have either, you know, Zeke or McCaffrey or Saquon or, you know what I mean, or Kamara. So you can kind of game plan there. But anytime I'm back, it's all about being fluid and kind of taking what the draft gives you and being able to roll with the punches. So, you know, my plan in the first round was I'm taking the best player available. That's it.
Yeah, you have to have a few people that you kind of have an eye on because you don't know who's going to be there when it's your turn. So definitely having your few people kind of queued up and ready, and when it comes to your turn, so you don't have to take the full time because that's really annoying.
Right.
If you're ready to go, that just makes the whole draft go so much smoother.
Yeah. So I ended up with...
What we should do, Brandon, is why don't we go round by round?
Okay.
I have mine up, and it says my Yahoo score. So take that for what it is. Usually the number one guy ends up towards the bottom of the league, but that's neither here nor there.
Draft results. All right.
So what was your grade from Yahoo overall?
I was a B.
I was also a B.
I believe I was a B last year as well. The thing is with Yahoo is, to be honest, their grades are really bullshit because it's all based on your weekly projected amounts. And if you don't draft like a backup kicker or a backup defense or a backup tight end or any, you know, and then you're taking a big goose egg during those weeks. So people that do draft backup kickers end up getting a leg up on the draft grade, which, you know, I'm like, I'm not wasting more than one pick on a kicker. I'm just not going to. You can easily pick up a kicker later on. To, you know, when your kicker's on a bye week, or you can upgrade at kicker if your kicker's starting to suck or something, and there's somebody that's better on the free agent list, you can do that. But I'm not wasting two draft picks on kickers.
A lot of times, what you can do is even if you like your kicker, you can dump your kicker and then pick them back up the next week.
Oh, yeah.
No one's out there looking for kickers.
Right. And nobody puts waiver claims on kickers either.
Right.
Well, they shouldn't anyway.
Yeah, that would be not smart. Well, unless the waivers resets every week, and then it really doesn't matter.
That's true. But ours doesn't.
No, ours reset. Ours is rolling, so.
So, we already know who you picked. You picked Saquon Barkley first overall. We talked about that last week. Obviously, you're happy with that, but you would have rather had Zeke if he was signed, but he wasn't.
Yep. I went with the safe pick at the number one spot.
I think that's a pretty safe pick. Zeke ended up going 3. I was 9th, and believe it or not, I got DeAndre Hopkins, and he was not the first wide receiver drafted. And the first wide receiver drafted, everybody would think, okay, well, it's probably Devontae Adams then. And it wasn't Devontae Adams either. It was Juju Smith-Schuster, and he went at 7. So I ended up getting DeAndre Hopkins with the 9th pick. And then on the backswing for my second-round pick, I needed a running back, and I'm like, I'm going to take the best. I was being fluid because, to be honest with you, had on the backswing, if Devontae Adams was still there, I was taking him. I would have went wide receiver, and had the best two wide receivers in the draft. But he went with the very first round, very first pick in the second round. So I ended up taking Dalvin Cook, which I was very happy with. He's a guy that I wanted. He's a guy I targeted. We talked about it last week. I think if he stays healthy the whole year, I think he's going to win the rushing title with that Kubiak offense and what they do with running backs. You know, Kubiak made he made a name out of guys like, you know, Mike Anderson. You know, Mike Anderson ran for like 1,500 yards under him.
Yeah, so there was a stretch there where the Broncos had 4 or 5 different running backs in 4 or 5 different years go for over 1,000. So yeah, if anyone can do it, it's a Kubiak offense.
So that's kind of why I'm high on him. I just hope he stays healthy. I think if he does, that's going to be a great pick for me. So who'd you get in the second round, Sean?
Yeah, one thing I did want to mention also, there was two, you know, holy crap, what the heck just happened picks in the first round to me.
Yeah.
One was Dad taking Mahomes,
yep,
at 5th overall.
Yeah.
I was a little shocked at that. And then the other one was the one that you said, Juju going 7th overall. I mean, he should be in line for a good year, but I just don't think he's going to get the targets that AB got in Pittsburgh. So
right,
that's not anyone I would pick, but, you know, that's why you play the game, right? I guess we'll find out.
I mean, I don't think there's any denying that Mahomes has the potential to score the most points by far. Right. He's in, you know, honestly, he's probably going to score way more than anybody else in the first round. And that's not the point, though. The point is the difference between Mahomes and a quarterback you can get in the 10th round, whereas the difference between a running back you take in the first round and a running back you get in the 10th round. Huge difference. Whereas quarterback, it's not going to be as big of a difference. You know, we're talking a 10th round running back. Now we're looking at, let's see if there even were any running backs left. Peyton Barber. Peyton Barber was taken in the 10th round. So that's the difference between, and Dad could have had, let's see. So he took Patrick Mahomes 5th overall. James Conner went right after him. David Johnson went 2 picks after. So, you know, you take the difference between Patrick Mahomes and, you know, a 10th round QB, which we're looking at Ben Roethlisberger, you know, the difference between Mahomes and Roethlisberger, and then the difference between David Johnson or Connor and Peyton Barber, you know.
Right. So, yeah, that's why the running backs and receivers fly off the board so early, is because there is such a discrepancy. And once you hit that wall, you just kind of fall off the cliff there.
Yep.
But yeah, I was going to say, I think Dad really just was hoping Zeke would be there, but your friend was auto-drafting at 3, and it chose Zeke for him.
I feel like...
I mean, he could have fallen to 5 with him holding out and it being the Monday of the first game. So right. I think Dad was hoping it would, but that auto-draft just kind of made him have to change his whole strategy, if I had to guess.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. Although Matt, I know, would have taken Zeke there anyway.
He's a Bills fan, though, right?
Yeah, but he's very by the book when it comes to that, especially in the first couple rounds. So, you know, if he sees a guy that's ranked up there, he's probably going to take him.
He's going to take him?
So.
All right. So back to our picks here. My second round pick, I went with Mike Evans. I mean, not the top-notch receiver, but he's going to score double-digit touchdowns. He's going to get you 1,200 yards and catch 85 balls. I mean, his one crutch is you never really know what Jameis Winston's going to produce week to week.
Right.
But then with the first pick in the third round, I got one of the people that I talked about in our first episode as I think someone who's going to have a bounce back year and really produce, and that was Leonard Fournette. So I was happy about that.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette, I think he's a boomer bust for me. You know, he's a guy that has crazy potential, but I don't know. He was somebody I was kind of trying to stay away from. And it's not because I don't think he can tear it up, because I think he totally could, but I just, you know, he's one of those guys that he's not a safe pick, you know?
Well, I mean, if there's anyone that should be motivated by Zeke's contract, it should be Leonard Fournette.
Well, yeah.
Fourth overall the year after Zeke went. Fourth overall. So I think if he's going to have a good year, this would be the right time for him to do it.
Yeah, that would most certainly be the case. So with my third round pick, I got Chris Carson, which I was really happy with.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that he's in. I mean, we talked about this too. He's in a very, very run heavy offense, and he's got a more mobile quarterback that he's working with. So that takes pressure off him, and he had a great year last year. So, you know, the only thing that could hurt him is Penny kind of, you know, biting at his heels a little bit. But anytime Carson's been on the field, he's outplayed him every single time. So, you know, I think Rashard Penny's kind of has that draft status that's still kind of lifting him up a little bit. But I think Carson's the guy there. So I was pretty happy with that pick. So that, you know, I went wide receiver, running back. So I got two, I think, very good running backs in the first three rounds, so I was really happy about that. And I got my first, you know, the number one overall receiver on my list, so I was happy with that. So in the fourth round, Sean, what'd you do there? Well, actually, I guess I was in front of you.
I said I was going to target the whole time, and that was Mike Williams. I think he's due to have that breakout year. It's his third year in the league. If a receiver's going to break out, it's generally in that third year. He's got Phillip Rivers, who is in a contract year also, and a pretty decent offensive line to block for Rivers, so he should have time to throw. So he was one of the people I targeted, and I was glad to get him at the end of the fourth round.
Yeah, so I was not surprised that he took him there. I was looking at him in the fifth round. I was hoping he was going to get back to me, but he didn't, obviously. So in the fourth round, I kind of went a little unconventional here, because here I'm sitting with one wide receiver and two running backs already. And in our league, you play two running backs. So you have two running back spots, but you also have a flex spot that is a wide receiver, tight end, or running back. And I just saw this guy here, and I couldn't pass him up. Last year, my team was – running back was my weakest position by far, and I was like – it was like I was struggling to find viable options there. So I took another one. I took another running back. I thought he was the best player on the board at the time, and that's Josh Jacobs. I think he's got crazy potential.
And Gruden's offense, he likes to run the ball.
He does.
I think he's going to get a lot of touches.
Yeah, so I was pretty happy with that pick. And then,
yeah, that's a good pick.
Sean, you went wide receiver, right?
I did. I went, this is kind of a risk-reward pick for me, at least. I went with Flash Gordon. If he could just not get suspended, I think it's going to turn out to be a good pick, but that's a lot to ask out of him recently.
Well,
for his whole career, if I should say.
Yeah.
it could really help me, or it could come back to bite me that early taking him. So I guess we'll find out.
Well, he's certainly got a good quarterback throwing to him, and I think him and Brady were training together over the offseason as well. So there's obviously some chemistry there. Brady's not going
to
be training.
They were really starting to pick it up before he got suspended last year.
Yep. Yeah, I remember. I had him on my team last year. That was fun for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, and that's usually what happens with him, though.
Yeah, and then it came all crashing down again. So with my fifth round pick, this is where I was hoping to get Mike Williams with the ninth pick in the fifth round. But obviously, you took him there. So after that, I was kind of eyeing Kenny Golladay, and he went as well. And after that, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to get Tyler Boyd because I think he's going to tear it up. And guess what? He got drafted again. He got drafted right after Golladay and then Calvin Ridley. So it was like a wide receiver barrage between the tail end of the fourth round and the first half of the fifth round. So I'm like, all right, here I am sitting with one wide receiver. I already got three running backs. I'm still in my, you know, I want to take the best player available, but obviously I'm not going to take another running back, you know? So I went with DJ Moore. It's a pick that I'm okay with. He's a guy that could break out. He's definitely a breakout candidate. So I do like that about him, and I hope he does. You know, I hope he does break out. So in the sixth round. Oh, go ahead.
Being in Charlotte, you know, you kind of get all the Panthers hype train.
Yeah.
I think that it really is just dependent on Cam staying healthy. If he does, then DJ really flashed last year when he actually would get targets. But I mean, at the end of last year, Cam couldn't even throw the ball 20 yards. So yep. You really don't know what he's going to be, but he definitely is very talented and could really break out this year.
I just think they're going to be behind a lot, and I think they're going to be looking to throw the ball. So I'm hoping, that he can steal some targets away from McCaffrey, who catches 300 balls a year. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what we should do, Brandon, is just kind of round out our starting lineups here.
Okay.
For week one.
Yeah.
And then get to the picks so we're not going through all 16 rounds.
Yeah, we don't want to go through all 16 rounds. We got the gist of it there, the good stuff. We got the good stuff. So, yeah, my starting lineup, I ended up taking Jared Goff really late. He was actually the second quarterback that I took. I took Carson Wentz before him. I just like Goff's matchup better this week. He's playing against Carolina, whereas Carson Wentz playing against the Redskins. First of all, I don't really want to root for Carson Wentz against the Redskins, but I promise, though, that's not the reason why I chose Goff. I think that Goff is going to outscore Carson Wentz. I think Washington's defense is much better than Carolina's. I think their pass rush is better. I think they're better in the secondary. So that's why I went with Goff. Because, I mean, either one of those guys, obviously, they're both great options. And I was happy to have both of them. So I got Goff as my quarterback. Hopkins, obviously, starting at one wide receiver spot. DJ Moore at the second one. Then I got Cooper Kupp in my starting lineup, which I'm kind of going back and forth on if I want to start him or Sterling Shepard. The reason why I would want to start Sterling Shepard is because I feel like they're going to have to throw the ball because I think Cowboys are going to be scoring some points on Giants defense. So I'm kind of going back and forth on that one. But right now I have Kupp in there. Running backs, I got Dalvin Cook, Carson, and I got Njoku as my tight end. And Josh Jacobs in my flex spot. My kicker is Fairbairn for Houston. And right now I have Buffalo as my starting defense against the Jets.
All right. Now, for me, I took kind of a homer pick.
You got to get close to the phone, man.
And I went with Dak Prescott with my quarterback. My receivers are going to be Mike Evans, Mike Williams, and Josh Flash Gordon. And my running backs, I'm pretty pumped about, minus the fact that he's playing against my team. And that's Saquon and Fournette. My tight end is going to be Vance McDonald. My flex right now, subject to change, is going to be Tevin Coleman. Which I like it against Tampa with Shanahan as the play caller and head coach for San Francisco. So I think I'll probably stick with that one. And then I have my kicker is Rosas and the Giants. So two Giants against the Cowboys.
Oh, look at you.
And then something that you don't really want to know, I like the Cowboys defense a lot, so I picked them. So I kind of have my running back going against my defense. It is what it is. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than having your quarterback go against your defense.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, so that's where we're at. That's where we're at for week one. So we'll next episode we'll be talking about our results and how we did. And this is a head-to-head league, which, you know, personally, I actually don't like head-to-head leagues as much as I like points leagues, just for this, you know, the fact that it seems like every year I score more points than people that are ahead of me in the standings, and it pisses me off.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, some leagues, and I was talking to my buddy at work about it, like, what they should really do is some leagues give out money back or some a little bit on the positive side for the winner of the regular season. But really, if you think about it, what they should do is give out that to the person who scores the most points.
Yeah, definitely. The regular season. Definitely. I did not score the most points last year, but the guy who ended up winning the league, I did score more points than him, and I didn't make the playoffs. So there's that. So let's talk about our pick'ems. Our pick'ems. Let's do it.
All right.
So we'll just let you guys know the rules here. So we do have some rules. Rule number one is at the time that we record this, which it is Wednesday, you know, we got games tomorrow. So at the time we record this, when we make our picks, we cannot change them no matter what. So if, you know, Tom Brady twists his ankle and he's not playing and you pick the Patriots, you're still going with the Patriots. So
yep.
cannot change them. So that's rule number one. Rule number two is you have to pick at least one underdog. At least one underdog. So we'll be talking about that too. And going from there. So Sean, do you want to start off?
Yep. The first game of the season, I'm going with Chicago. In Chicago over Green Bay.
All right.
You want me to bust them all out?
Well, we can. You know, I'll go back and forth too on that one. We'll just go game by game. So I also took Chicago.
All right.
Second game, I took Cleveland at home against Tennessee.
This was one of my upsets. I'm taking an underdog in this one. I'm taking the Titans.
You're taking the Titans to go into Cleveland and beat them.
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
Sometimes you just gotta say, why not? You know.
Yeah, well, you know, last year, first week of the season, there was a lot of upsets. A lot. We had the Jets? The Jets like beat the living crap out of the Saints. It was like a just ass whooping. I think it's the only ass whooping that the Jets dealt out last year. Was it the Jets? No, it wasn't. Was it the Jets that, or was it Tampa?
There was an abnormal amount of upsets.
Yeah.
I don't think maybe she's very happy about that.
So the third game on here is Baltimore versus Miami, and I think Miami's, you know, kind of in contention for the first overall pick next year. I took Baltimore in that game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one as well. Miami's not going to be good.
No. I think they had, what, six undrafted free agent players make their team this year?
Really? That's crazy.
It's a lot. Not saying anything's bad about undrafted free agents. There's plenty of great football players who are undrafted free agents, but...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Actually, I kind of heard a pretty interesting fact. Do you know that 30% of the players in the league are undrafted free agents? And that's the highest percentage if you go, like, by draft pick. So, like, number one, you know, first-round draft picks, it's, like, 15%, something around there. And then it just steadily goes down round to round. But, yeah, 30% are undrafted free agents.
There's only going to be 32 picks per year in each round, but undrafted players, they sign like 30, you know, so the odds against 50 is a little bit more.
Yep. So Minnesota at home against Atlanta. This is a tough one. Who you got here?
I have two upsets in a row on the sheet. I have Atlanta winning in Minnesota and Buffalo winning in New York.
Yeah, this was one of the four upsets I took. I ended up going with Atlanta.
You know, I know Minnesota's home and favorite, but you know, sometimes a good team can win on the road against another good team. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I kind of went the safe route here. Not really that it's safe because they're both good teams. I think they're pretty equal, but you know, and it was basically a toss up. So when it's a toss up, I go with the home team. So I took the Vikings. I think the Vikings will win that game. And then this one's kind of an interesting pick here for us because we're both from the Buffalo area. So the Jets versus the Bills. This is my upset. I only took one upset this week. And this is it. I think the Bills are going to beat the Jets. And yeah, I think they're going to do it.
I'm on the same page with you on this one. I think that both teams are on the rise. But I think the Bills have a better defense. They're with a better defense.
Yep. So Philly versus Washington. This one's near and dear to my heart as a Redskins fan. And this is a difficult pick for me because, you know, I kind of have to try to take my heart out of it. If I was a betting man, I would never bet on a Redskins game because it's hard for me to take my heart out of it. And I'm an eternal optimist, and I always think that the Redskins have a chance to win. In this case, though, I think their chances of losing are a little bit higher. I went with Philly.
I took the Eagles as well, but you know what? I got to tell you, I'm going to be right there with them for the Redskins because I'm a big Washington Philadelphia over the Cowboys to win the division. I don't like that, so
no.
Let's go Skins this weekend.
Yeah, let's go Skins, even though I picked Philly. But you know what? If the Redskins win...
It wouldn't help. I mean, we both picked
them. Exactly. So I'm happy about that. Actually, if you would have picked the Redskins, it would have been bittersweet. But let's be honest, I still would have been happy if the Redskins win. All right, so we got Rams at Panthers in our backyard.
Yep, I took the Rams here. I just think they're a better team this year.
Yep, I got the Rams too. I actually don't even think that one will be close, to be honest. And Kansas City at Jacksonville. I went with Kansas City. I think that Kansas City is probably the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, this was my fourth and final. Yeah, I'm taking Jacksonville at home to Stanley.
Yeah, they're goals to hold them back. You know, get their feet back after a year of vacation, apparently. And I think they're going to shock Kansas City and the football world.
That'd be amazing if that happened. They could do it potentially. It's tough, though. I mean, I know Jacksonville's defense is super, super talented, but Mahomes is a scoring machine. And I don't know, man. It's tough. I mean, that's a gutsy pick. So if it comes through for you, then I give you props. Chargers, Colts. Who you got?
I'm taking the Chargers.
Same. Colts are another team, I think.
We could kind of just bust through these last few rounds since I don't have any upsets left, and I know you don't either.
I do have one.
You said you did.
I thought I only had one upset, but I actually have two.
It better not be the game I'm looking at right now.
You're ahead of us by one. You know, I know you're looking at the Dallas Giants game, but we can't skip over Seattle Cincinnati. So we both went with Seattle there.
Yep.
The Dallas Cowboys versus the New York Giants. Is this my second upset? No, it's not. I picked the Cowboys.
I did too.
Although I think that's potentially a close game because NFC East. I mean, you never know what's gonna happen.
No, you're absolutely right. Eli's came into Dallas and shocked them before, so it wouldn't surprise me, but I do think the Cowboys should win this game.
They should. They certainly should. Detroit, Arizona, we both got Detroit because they're the favorite team.
Yeah, I also think this is a good sleeper fantasy play is the Detroit offensive people, almost all of them. So just keep that in mind as well.
Oh, okay. So maybe you're going to be working that into your daily fantasy picks?
You could say that.
No, that's interesting. We're both in the same thing there, too. So Tampa, San Francisco. I took Tampa.
I did as well.
That one's kind of a toss-up, too, for me. So you know, Tampa's at home, which is, you know, the reason why I took them. But I think that's kind of a toss up there. I think Tampa's going to be.
Yeah, Tampa's always plays better at home, so that should help.
And New England, Pittsburgh. I went with New England.
New England. All right. That might be your upset.
Nope, it wasn't. I went with New England.
The Monday night games.
We are. My upset is going to be on Monday night. My second one. New Orleans versus Houston.
The Saints at home. It's tough to win there.
Yep. I picked the Saints at home also. So here comes my upset. Denver at Oakland. I went with Oakland. That's my upset.
You're high on Oakland after watching Hard Knocks. You kind of got a little soft with them.
No, I don't think I'm high on. I think they will be vastly improved from where they were last year, but that's not really saying a lot.
No, it's not.
You know, I think Oakland's probably going to be like an 8-8 team. You know,
yeah, I think they're a team on the rise, and that's kind of what they wanted going into Vegas next year. They wanted to build their roster and then really try to have a good year that first year in that stadium.
So we also have some tiebreakers here that we'll talk about too, because those are important, and it gets a little bit more in depth. So we got scores. So there's two different tiebreakers. The first tiebreaker is to pick the score of two games, which in this case it's the two Monday night games. Usually it's only going to be one, but we got two here. And then the second tiebreaker is you pick what team is going to score the most points this week and what team is going to score the fewest points this week. So for scores, I had Denver 21 and Oakland 24. So I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Oakland's going to take it.
I had Denver 27-24, so we're with Oakland scoring 24.
And Houston, I have Houston 21 and New Orleans 31.
I have Houston 31, New Orleans 34.
Oh, so you're, high scoring game. You're going for a high scoring game. Who will score the most points this week, Sean? Who do you think it is?
This one is going to be a surprise, but I put Detroit.
Detroit?
Yep.
Wow.
Let me tell you why. Arizona's defense, I think, is not going to be very good, to put it nicely.
Well, yeah.
Especially with Patrick Peterson being suspended for the first six games. They also have their second corner on the PUP list. So they're on their third and fourth corners going into the first week. So that's why I said that I was high on the Detroit players going into this game.
So do you think maybe Kyler Murray might be a sneaky pick too? Because if
they're going to have to score.
Exactly.
No, I actually think that the Detroit defense is a good play.
Okay.
Just going off from what I saw preseason, so you don't really know what you're going to get. But I don't know. To me, there's going to be some growing pains with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury and the air raid offense in the NFL. So I think they might run into a little bit of a buzzsaw that first week.
You know, it's kind of it when college coaches kind of bring a new twist into the NFL, it goes one of two ways, and there's really no between. It either is amazing for like a year, and then
until
they figure it out, or it's just terrible. So I mean, I don't really know which way it's going to go, but I guess we'll see. You know, it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch regardless.
Yeah, terrible, at least for week one.
Yeah. So I picked Minnesota for the most points this week. I think their offense is loaded, and I think they're going to have to score a lot of points to keep up with Atlanta. I think that's going to be a high-scoring game. It's probably going to be one of the most entertaining games this week. And so I went with Minnesota because I picked them to beat Atlanta, and, you know, you got to score a lot of points to do that. So that's why I went with them. And Atlanta's defense sucked last year too, let's be honest. It was not very good. So
yeah, they were bad.
So that's why I went with Minnesota. Who will score the fewest points this week? I said Miami.
I also said Miami.
Is that going to be every week?
It might be. You never know with Fitzy, but their O-line is going to be horrible. So
they just don't have talent on offense. They don't.
No, I don't.
They have no talent on that side of the ball, and they just traded their best player on offense.
Yep.
So
yeah, it's going to be a rough year for those Miami Dolphins fans.
Yep. So that's what we got for the picks for this week. So we're going to wrap it up, and join us next week when we talk about NFL Week 1 and what happened. Hopefully,
yeah, I'm excited that football is finally here, guys.
Me too.
I can't wait to talk about it next week and finally have some scores and some highlights to go through.
And some stuff to talk about, some results. Finally getting it on the TV. Eating some chicken wings. I'm gonna bust out the smoker, Sean. I'm gonna smoke some wings.
Excited.
All right, guys, join us next week. We'll catch you then.
Thanks for listening, guys. Catch you next week.